good guy, now take it on a trip. Lean back and stay a while, now take it on a trip.
Monitor during this half hour is host to one of the most famous names in American entertainment, the amazing Dunninger. Dunninger, author of 33 books on occult subjects, described as a mental marvel, called by Reader's Digest the best since Houdini, will spend the next 25 minutes with us live right here in Radio Central. And he'll demonstrate his amazing abilities with a group of invited guests here in our studio. We'll meet the amazing Mr. Dunninger in just 30 seconds.
Taste that beats the others go. Pepsi pours it on. Pepsi pours it on.
Put your thirst on ice with a cold Pepsi Cola. Pepsi has the taste created for the cold, a taste that comes alive in the cold in a big, bold, inviting way. Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
The amazing Dunninger has spent over 30 years convincing disbelievers of his phenomenal mental powers, and yet hardly a day passes when someone who's familiar with his name, who hasn't seen him or heard him work, says, "Convince me." The result? He always does. Now, I don't blame you if you're skeptical about his incredible thought-reading abilities, but later on this half hour, he'll demonstrate beyond any doubt that he is a mental marvel. First, let's meet him and find out more about him. Let's extend the most cordial Radio Central Monitor welcome to the amazing Dunninger. Nice to have you with us, sir.
My pleasure, Brad, indeed.
Mr. Dunninger, precisely what is this special thought-reading power? How would you define it?
Well, that is a very, very difficult thing to do. To find an explanation for non-existent fact has always been most difficult. As you probably know, over the years, I have never claimed any supernatural ability or any psychic power.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I'm chairman of three committees investigating fraudulent mediumship for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
What I do, as I've often stated playfully, can be accomplished by any child 3 years of age after 30 years of practice.
And yet you have done a great many things which were deliberately set up, at any rate, or were apparently, to anyone with the ordinary power of logic and observation, to explain by any other means except some occult transference.
Well, the occult, to a degree, does exist.
Mm-hmm.
In all my investigations, as quoted a moment ago, I've found about 5 or 6% of things demonstrated in psychic form that no investigator has ever been able to fathom.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to thought reading, we all have that ability. It's neglected in many. I know that you use it in everyday life. You're seated with someone in an office, and you know what they're thinking about, or you're skeptical of another person, and you feel the skepticism. It's a combination of forces that are undeveloped and to which we are greatly unfamiliar to a degree that come into exercise and into practice.
Well, now, you mentioned practice. Now, let's take this power for a moment. How do you go about developing something like this, assuming that you have the latent talent, whatever it may be?
How do you go about having these excellent replies to any question, no matter how foreign? How come that your wisdom surpasses the average man's judgment? It's something that you were born with. You've got it, you use it, you exercise it, yet I doubt whether it could be duplicated. So it is with my work and the work of any man that practices anything along the seemingly impossible.
I see, sir. Well, now, a man of your stature, let's say, in entertainment, must have some pretty special memories about some special performances or performances for very special people. Would you mind recalling a couple of highlights for us?
Well, one, with FDR, I've entertained him various occasions at the White House. As a matter of fact, I've entertained 6 presidents of the United States. I started with Teddy Roosevelt when he was 7 years old, doing mental experiments. He was concentrating upon a question at a birthday celebration at the White House. His question was, will Hammy Fish or Huey Long be the next president of the United States? Being a diplomat, I told him that he'd be reelected. I didn't think these boys had a chance, but of course that was a wild guess.
Mm-hmm.
Another that I think was rather outstanding, the commander of the Nautilus, before making his maiden voyage, asked a question by remote control. I was here in this very building. He was in the boat, of course, concentrating upon a question. The question was, what will be the clearance of the Nautilus on her maiden voyage when she passes below the Brooklyn Bridge? That was the question. The answer, which I also gave him, was 4 inches.
But how did you know the 4? You mean you not only
he
got
knew
the question?
That.
Oh, he was thinking the answer, too.
Oh, yes, that had been decided But, of course, he was the only man that knew for some reason or other. And then, to supplement matters, his cook came forward, being still skeptical, and asked I describe the menu for the day, which I did without any error. Uh-huh. Although I want to make clear at this point that I am only human, I do make mistakes. The man that never makes a mistake never does anything. My readings are about 90% accurate and sometimes fall a bit below that.
And yet you insist that you are not a fortune teller, a mind reader, or a magician.
I possess no supernatural powers whatsoever.
Well, sir, you have been challenged, of course, by experts in the field of skepticism. What do you do when somebody comes up and says, I just don't think you can do that? Do you offer any kind of counter-challenge?
Well, I do one or two things. I either ignore him and am in sympathy with his ignorance, or I demonstrate and prove it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the importance of the individual.
I see. Wouldn't it be nice to really have tremendous telekinetic powers and to be able to just sort of plant him somewhere in the Amazon?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Mr. Dunninger, you've told us a great deal about your gifts and your career and your accomplishments as a master mentalist. Of course, as I know, in many, many years of performing, there's so much and there's so little time. In 1 minute, to you there in the audience, the amazing Dunninger will perform his incredible feats, working with a group of special guests live right here inside Radio Central. So, in 1 minute, prepare to be baffled, entertained, and startled by the amazing Dunninger live on the Monitor Beacon. This is Monitor 67. I'm Brad Crandall. And just in case you just joined us, we're about to present live in our Radio Central Monitor studios an incredible performance by one of the master entertainers of our time, the amazing Dunninger. Hear him read the thoughts of a group of special guests in our studio in just 1 minute.
Have you ever been soaking up the sun at a beach or pool and suddenly some back-slapping friend does this to you?
Ouch! My sunburn!
Too much sun, and how you suffer. That feel-on-fire feeling, a burning toss-and-turn can't-sleep night. Also needless if you just use Solarcane. Solarcane stops sunburn pain fast, faster and more completely than ordinary first aids. Why? Solarcane contains pain-killing benzocaine used by doctors. It quiets your pain nerves, puts them to sleep. Solarcane cools, soothes, aids healing, too. Solarcane contains two antiseptics, helps prevent infection.
Solarcane has dozens of uses. Stops pain, sting of detergent hands, minor kitchen burns, little cuts and insect bites. I use Solarcane a year-round.
Get lotion, cream, or Solarcane spray today. Stop skin pain with Solarcane.
And now, to you here at home, to the ladies and gentlemen here in the audience, it's my pleasure to present the amazing Dunninger.
Once again, my thanks to you, Brad. Before we went on the air a few moments ago, a gentleman on the front seat here asked me whether I could tell him the name of one of his nephews or two nephews. Is that correct, sir?
Grandson.
Grandson, rather. Your grandson. You didn't write that. You just thought of it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I want my listening audience to recognize the fact that the information I give you has not been placed upon paper. Have we ever met before, sir?
Never.
Where are you from?
Flushing.
Flushing. You're native?
A native of Brooklyn.
A native of Brooklyn. Well, that's excellent. Brooklyn also can be used in substitution for Flushing occasionally. So they tell me. Now, I'm going to ask the rest of you to be good enough to concentrate your thoughts. Notice I say thoughts, not minds. You don't read minds. They're too darn hard to locate. You read thoughts. And place into verbal expression, so to speak, an image that you create in writing. See your thoughts in bold black type before a background of white. And as I call your impressions, be kind enough to raise your hand and identify the fact that I'm tuning in upon you. Bear in mind that I make errors. I'm not infallible. And if you make mistakes mentally, I will make them in my callings. Now concentrate, please. Who among you is concentrating his or her mind upon a name consisting, rather, two names, the initials A and C. The first name, as I mentally receive it, is Andrew. Does that make sense to anyone? Andrew, the young gentleman right in front, where are you from, please?
Rochester, Michigan.
Rochester. Andrew, is that a son of yours, perchance?
That's my father's name.
Sir?
My father's name.
Your father's name, and is the other name you have in mind your mother's?
No.
Well, I shan't ask you who it is. I'll rather give you the name. Concentrate, please. Would it begin with the letter C?
Yes.
It would begin with a C. I notice you close your eyes. You might keep them open. I'd like to see your eyes as we're working. Would it be C-A-R-O-L-Y-N?
That's correct.
100% accurate?
That's it.
You never met before?
No, I haven't.
Thank you ever so much, sir. I receive another impression from some lady or gentleman in my audience that's asking me to describe a series of numbers, that is, one number composed of 6 or 7 digits, beginning with the number, the digit 2. Does that make sense to anyone? Young lady, ma'am, where are you from, please?
Rochester, Michigan.
Oh, you're related to the very handsome young fellow there?
He's my husband.
He's your husband?
Yes.
Well, marvelous choice on both ends. My compliments to you. Rochester, now, these numbers, what do they represent to you?
They're my student number at school.
Does anyone here know these numbers other than you?
No.
Does your husband know the numbers?
No.
He doesn't know them. And you and I are the only two?
Yes.
Good. Concentrate, please. The first digit as I receive it mentally is a 2.
Yes.
We've already called that. The next is a 3.
Yes.
When you're through with that, think of the next, please. You're still saying 3. Must be 2 threes?
Yes.
Oh, I see. 2, 3, 3. Concentrate, please. 1, 5, and 7.
Yes, perfectly.
Thank you. 1, 5, 5, 7. Another impression, someone concentrating his or her thoughts upon the initials CS. Does that make sense? Jeff from the furthest caller. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
You're smiling. I hope you're happy.
Yes, sir.
Good. What is your name?
Saul Sheingold.
Absolutely correct. Now, Mr. Sheingold, if you don't mind, concentrate, if you will, upon the question you have in thought. The CS, what does that mean? Is it part of a license plate number, perchance?
That's right.
Sir?
That's right.
Oh, it is. You amaze me. Amaze me. Now concentrate upon the rest of the number. Does anyone here other than you know the number?
Yes.
The wife, of course.
That's right.
She would. I can't remember my own, if you're interested. I forget my own numbers, my own phone number. I can't remember a thing. However, getting back to you, sir. The initials we now have are CS. Concentrate upon the first digit. Would that be an 8?
Yes, sir.
It would. We never met before.
No, sir.
Make the next a 6?
Right.
How about a 5 for the lot?
Right.
Good. Marvelous, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I agree with you. I agree with you, madam. Your judgment is excellent.
Those are my initials and my number.
Good enough.
Of the car.
Excellent. Now, there's another thought which comes to my mind. Young lady, if you don't behave, I'll read your mind out loud, and that'd be very disastrous. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Be interesting, to say the least. Who's our page here is smiling all over. He's hoping I don't tune in upon his thoughts. I'm very discreet, my boy. I'm with you. I shan't. Who's to give the initials G-S? G-E-O-L-D, Gerald? Young lady in the back row. Good evening, madam. How are you?
Fine.
I hope the flavor of the gun is inviting and lovely.
It's terrific.
Good girl. Oh, we never met before.
No, we didn't.
You seem proud of that. Are those your initials, rather?
No.
Is that your name?
No.
Whose name is it?
My son.
Your son. Good enough. The last name, would that be Skylar?
No.
Skylila? I'm only 90% accurate. Spell it in your mind. Would it be S-A-L or B-Y-C-L-O-R? Is that close? How close is that?
No.
Well, how would you pronounce it?
Seligson.
You wouldn't think so, would you? Thank you so much. Seligson's the last name. We go with that one. Now we have another one, another person concentrating upon a day, month, and year of birth. I get the month of October. Does that make sense to anyone? The young Jeff in the back row? Getting back to you again, you have more than one thought. I forgot to tell you that you mustn't concentrate the second time while I'm working with the rest of the customers here.
I'm trying not to.
It's all right, forgive you. I'm just joking, of course. Whose birthday is that? It's not your own.
Yes, it's my own.
Born in 41?
That's right.
You seem older. Forgive me for saying that. That's the reason I didn't think it was yours. Does anyone in the audience know the date of your birthday other than you?
I believe my wife does, yes.
Your wife and yourself are the only two that know your birthday. Is that correct? Now, with this young lady, would you come forward, please? If you don't mind, walk right about, please. Thank you. Come right forward. Excellent. How are you? What is your name? Karen, how do you do? I'm happy to see you indeed. Karen, do you know a young man whose date, month, and year I have just called? Do you know him at all?
No, I don't.
You never met him before?
No.
Sure.
Positive.
Did you ever meet this young lady?
No.
Good. Now, I'll mark that down. We have that October, I don't want to forget that, 1941. I'm going to try and have you tell us the day in October in which he was born.
How many days are in the month of October? 31. That shows the value of a college education. Now, if you don't mind, young lady, hold your fingers to my temple in this fashion. Now, I'm going to call the various days beginning with 1 and ending with 31. You get the vibration. If one of those stands out stronger than the rest, please tell us which one it is when I'm all through speaking. Understand, my dear? Good. Hold on, please. Stand up, sir. Now concentrate upon the day in October in which you were born. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30. 31. Which seems strongest?
3.
3, is that correct?
That's right.
100% right. Thank you ever so much. Thank you ever so much, Jim. Now, there is another thought that I've been trying to fathom. I didn't quite clear it and clarify it, but there was a little confusion here in getting this thought over because we worked at quite a distance. Is there anyone thinking of a name beginning with an R? I get R-H-O-N-D-A. What is the name, please?
Rhonda.
Rhonda. We never met before.
No, we didn't.
Rhonda is 100% correct. Your daughter?
No, it isn't.
Mama?
No. My son's girlfriend.
Well, that's pretty close, isn't it? Someday she will be a mama and is a daughter at this time. See, Dunning
right.
is never wrong.
That's right.
I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong, is the story. There's another impression which is rather interesting. It has, again, to do with numbers. And this lady or gentleman is concentrating his or her thoughts upon the digits 5 and 8. That is the beginning of a series of numbers. Where does it come from, please? That's the young lady to my left. Before we started, I told this young lady her mother's maiden name. Is that correct, young lady?
Yes, that's correct.
And now you're thinking of something else. The digits 5, what do they represent?
My student number.
Your student number?
Yes.
Does anyone here know the number other than you?
No, I don't think so.
The only one. 588.
No, you left out a digit.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
I'm doing fine. I left out a digit. Well, skip the digit, because it's difficult to reconstruct a thought. Would the next be a 4?
No.
Who's thinking of 5884? Will you please stop thinking until I get through this thought here? She got in on the other, on the young lady's line. Would you go back to the young man, please? Was that what you were thinking about now, sir? You will stop thinking now for a moment.
I wasn't thinking about this right now. It's
your subconscious, my boy. 588-4048. How would that do it?
That's correct. Absolutely.
100% right? Thank you ever so much.
My mother's phone number.
Who was thinking of the another date in the year 1947? Would that make sense to anyone?
Me.
Good. You're in again. Sincerely now, we never did meet before, did we?
No, we didn't.
Definitely not.
You've got an excellent mind for this type of thing. I would that every subject was as good. It makes the things quite simpler for a thought reader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dunninger.
It's all right, you deserve it. We have 1947. 1947, we have at least, I'm beginning to get the month of December. Would that make sense to anyone?
That's right.
December. And how would December, the 22nd do?
Not.
Huh?
Nope.
Am I
close?
The 29th.
Right.
Thank you ever so much. We managed to get that one over. One of my very nice subjects here has been concentrating with a great deal of emphasis upon a more or less simple name. The initials of the name are J and D. Two names. Charming lady to my left. Where are you from, madam? Rochester.
Brooklyn.
Huh?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. I thought Rochester and Brooklyn were running high tonight. These names, are they members of your family?
One of them is.
Oh, they're two separate people.
Right.
The one is Jane, J-A-N-E.
Right.
And the last of the two, David.
Right.
Thank you ever so much.
My goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard a demonstration and performance live in our Radio Central Monitor Studios by the amazing Dunninger. Don't ask me. I hope you've enjoyed it and found it stimulating entertainment. Oh, The Golden Gate Strings, last train to Clarksville.
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. Best wine sellers.
Time is about the Chateau Martin wine. The flavor and aroma are so fine. Try the sherry or the port, buy the gallon or the quart. You'll be nuts about the Chateau Martin wine.
Every well-stocked cellar includes Chateau Martin port wine, the rich, clear dessert wine that provides the happy ending to a perfect dinner. This is Brad Crandall with a question. How many $100-a-plate dinners have you gone to lately? Well, in just 3 minutes, a man who's written a book on the subject...
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can fly up and away.
They're called the Fifth Dimension, and the song's title reminds me of that old radio show, The Lone Ranger. Remember that? How's your knowledge of trivia? Remember what he used to shout to his horse? Hi-yo, Silver, up, 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 and away! But, of course, not in a balloon.
Taste that beats the others go. Pepsi pours it on. Pepsi pours it on.
Today, people like their soft drinks cold, really cold. And that's when the taste of Pepsi-Cola really comes alive. Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
The Democratic Party has traditionally raised funds through one of the most ingenious public relations ideas of all time, the famous $100-a-plate Jefferson Jackson Day dinners. These colorful gatherings have a history which goes back to the days when John Quincy Adams was our president. A new book tells it all, but that's getting ahead of its author, Dr. Ronald Stinnett, vice presidential assistant who chats with Monitor reporter Betty Grobley in Washington.
Dr. Stinnett, you say that these $100 per plate dinners are important. I'd like to know why they're important.
Yes, these dinners are very important in terms of the party because this is really the only time of the year when all of the party leaders can get together and naturally helps us in terms of fundraising. But it isn't just for the fundraising alone. It's for identification of the party members and party leaders, of party members with their party leaders. It's an occasion when we can revere those great leaders of the past inspire for the future, and in presidential and campaign election years to kick off the election, really, and in off-presidential and off-campaign years, it's a means of getting together to really keep tying the party together.
When did these dinners start?
The first dinner was in 1827.
Who was the president then?
That was John Quincy Adams, who, by the way, and this has a history and part of the story of the first dinner. In 1827, Andrew Jackson and his followers were trying to get the presidency in 1828. They were banding together already, and as you know, in 1824, Jackson ran, and as John Quincy Adams did, and Henry Clay, and Crawford. And those four men had an election which was so close it was thrown into the House of Representatives. And here Henry Clay gave his votes to John Quincy Adams. And we have the so-called corrupt bargain, which the Andrew Jackson and his followers claimed. And then from that point on, they began building for 1828 when Andrew Jackson won the presidency. And this is another way in which these dinners are very important, and they play a very, very important part in the history of the Democratic Party and naturally in the history of the nation.
Have there been any presidents that really didn't want to have these dinners for one particular reason or another?
No. The first $100 a plate dinner for raising funds was in 1936. Actually, it was $50 that year, and it became $100 in 1937. Franklin D. Roosevelt didn't think that they would be successful. The Republicans poo-pooed the idea, but they were very successful. The Republicans had their Lincoln Day $1 box lunches as sort of a contrast in the beginning. But by the 1950s, the Republicans started $100 a plate dinners and now actually raise more funds this way than does the Democratic Party. But it is the main fundraising device of both parties. In my book, I call this period of the 20s the talk-a-thon times of the 20s. In 1928, at the dinner, there were 17 speakers. And 17 speakers. The speaking started at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it finished at 3:30 in the morning, and with still five speakers to go. But by unanimous consent, as we call it on the Senate floor, they did not hear the last five speakers. And Will Rogers spoke at 1 o'clock that morning. And Will Rogers made a few of his famous statements. For example, one of them, he was talking about the United States Senate when he said, "It opens with a prayer and closes with an investigation." And it's really very interesting. And he carried on the whole repartee during that period and also came up with a famous quote of that time. This was the Prohibition era, and half of the party was what you called wet and half of it was what you called dry. And Will Rogers said, "Well, I'm glad to see tonight that the Democrats are able to at least eat in harmony, even though they can't drink in harmony." And there are many, many incidents like this throughout the whole history of the party.
What about toasts?
Well, there were not formal speeches in the first part of the history of our country in the 1800s. About the turn of the century, they started formal speeches as we know them today. But in the early years, there were what they called toasts, and there were as many as 80 or 90 toasts given, and with a little short speech after each toast, and they went until the early hours of the morning, too.
And well, this is kind of official imbibing, then.
Well, they only took little sips with each toast, I'm sure, but even at that rate, 80 or 90 sips gets to be quite a few.
And our guest, Dr. Ronald Stinnett, he is assistant to the Vice President of the United States and author of a new book titled simply, Democrats, Dinners, and Dollars, A History of the Democratic Party, Its Dinners, and Its Rituals. And this is Betty Grobley for Monitor.
As you know, political dinners are famous for speakers. You just heard that. Now, Monitor has a different type of speaker for you. He's not a politician, never been nominated for public office, to my knowledge, but he's famous just the same. His name, Anthony Quinn, actor, now dramatic narrator, and this is his brand new number making its Monitor debut this weekend. I love you, and you love me.
I love you. 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 How many different ways are there to say, I love you? I love you. No need to say it any other way. You
How wonderful. Oh, how wonderful that such a thing can be.
Just we two. Adds up to I love you, and you love me. I love you. How many different ways are there to say I love you? Ti voglio bene, ti chiedo, ich liebe dich, je t'adore. I love you. No need to say it any other way. And honey, you love me? How wonderful that such a thing can be. Baby, just we two. Adds up to I love you, and you love me.
That, believe it or not, was Anthony Quinn. This, you better believe, you're on the Monitor Beacon. Once again, Monitor continues its holiday weekend with you at 12 minutes before the hour. I'm Brad Crandall, and Sport of Speed with Ted Webb, one of America's foremost auto racing authorities, brings you reports on today's Charlotte, North Carolina 600 and a preview of Tuesday's Indianapolis 500 Classic right after Connie Francis sings her song. The Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed.
it's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me tell you this. Every once in a while, someone asks us, what's so great about Pennsylvania motor oils? Well, let's put it this way. Some oils take several days to produce. Pennsylvania oils took 1,000,000 years. Nature has never produced a crude oil like it. Pennsylvania oil has a unique molecular structure that stands up to the head of high speeds. Can you imagine what happens to lesser oils when they're thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Pennsylvania motor oils never get so stirred up that they forget what they're supposed to do. So for the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And say, all of you sports car enthusiasts, when is your club holding its next rally? You can get a complete rally kit with checkpoint signs, windshield numbers, and sanctioned scoring slips from the Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association. For just $1, you get 6 big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 rally scoring slip. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. The 8th annual World 600 Stock Car Race at the Charlotte, North Carolina Motor Speedway today attracted the largest turnout of speed enthusiasts ever to witness an event at this 1.5-mile track. Many were attracted, no doubt, by the reports of the high speeds turned in practice and qualifying sessions, which had been going on for the past week. These high speeds were made possible by the extensive repaving which the track had undergone, but which at the same time made tire wear a major problem. In anticipation of this tire wear, all 44 contestants had ordered far more mounted wheels than they thought could be used, but most of the teams needed as many tires as they had. The Petty team of 2 cars, for instance, had 105 tires available and used almost the entire supply. His win was not scored easily, however. Some 30 laps before the end, Pascal went wide on the fourth turn and brushed the wall hard enough to affect the alignment of his car's front end. And Jim afterwards stated that he didn't know if he could keep going to the checker. His reduced speed permitted 2 other drivers to gain on him, till by the final lap, all 3 were in the same lap, and it was only by seconds that Pascal took the checker first from starter Roby Combs. The 2 who gave Jim his anxious moments were David Pearson of Spartanburg, South Carolina, who finished 2nd in his 67 Ford, and Bobby Allison from Hueytown, Alabama, who took 3rd in a 67 Dodge. Pascal led the race for a total of 299 of the 400 laps and won $29,035 for his afternoon's work. The caution flag was out on 5 different occasions for a total of 32 laps, but there were no driver injuries, debris, and oil accounting for the yellow display. 7 drivers led the field during the race. 21 of the 44 starters were running at the end. Darrell Derringer went out after 322 laps with a blown engine. He had led for 11 laps. Paul Goldsmith retired after 266 laps with Charlie Glotzbach driving in relief. Cale Yarborough went out with steering problems after 58 laps. He had led for the first 25 circuits. Fourth to finish the 600 was Richard Petty in Plymouth. And right behind, taking 5th, was teammate Tiny Lund. Rounding out the top 10 finishes were Dick Hutchison 6th, Buddy Baker 7th, Ramo Stott 8th, James Hilton 9th, and J.T. Putney 10th. Yesterday, the USAC USAC Yankee 300 at Indianapolis Raceway Park was won decisively by Parnelli Jones in a 67 Ford, followed by Mario Andretti also in Ford. 3rd was Don White in Charger. The 1,000-kilometer Nürburgring at Adenau, Germany was won today by Udo Schutz of Germany and Joe Bezetta of Centerport, New York in a 2-liter Porsche at a speed of 90.9 miles an hour. Paul Hawkins of Great Britain and Gerhard Kutsch of Germany, also in Porsche, were 2nd. The rain-delayed USAC sprint car race at Winchester, Indiana today was won by Bob Wente of St. Louis with Greg Weld of Kansas City, the runner-up. This is Ted Webb from Charlotte, North Carolina Motor Speedway.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania motor oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania motor oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Say, talking about speed, do you realize that in just 2 weeks, Monitor will celebrate its 12th birthday? And by the way, you're invited to the party. Our gala 12th birthday weekend, June 10th and 11th, will include a gigantic list of celebrities, special features, surprises, nostalgia, glimpses of monitors past, present, and future, special events. Well, just let me say that the advance planning already assures you of an exciting, entertaining gala weekend. Vice President Humphrey will join more than 50 celebrities offering birthday greetings. The guest list includes Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante, Judy Garland, James Mason, Dinah Shore, Dick Van Dyke, and many, many more. Circle the dates. The weekend of June 10th and 11th, when Monitor's 12th anniversary is saluted on this NBC station. Sweet Pea, played by Roger Williams. Stay tuned for immediately following NBC Monitor News on the Hour, a special one-hour international edition of Meet the Press, linking Geneva, Switzerland, and Washington, D.C. via Early Bird Satellite. This is Brad Crandall.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation.